And before we dismiss the kids, just caught you, didn't I? Before we dismiss the kids and the leaders, yeah, you stay. So I just have two things that I wanted to mention while the kids were still here. So the first one is this. You know, oftentimes as a minister, sometimes you get compliments, sometimes you get negative feedback, sometimes you get a lot of things. And there's sometimes people will wear things on their shirts like scriptures and so forth, which will give you encouragement. Or somebody will say, you know, like give me raisins for my birthday after they hear a sermon that I don't like raisins, which happened often this past week. But it's not that often that somebody comes in wearing the message that I spoke at Bread and Soup on their face. So she's burying her head right now, but if you want to know any more about that, the kids will love the story as well. So after church, after everything's done, she'll be in the foyer to answer any questions about why she came in wearing the message on her face today. Yes, you're welcome, Donna. And number two, I wanted to mention, anybody remember before COVID? Yeah. It's like 2 years just flew right by, right? But remember we used to have this annual dinner at the church. It was called the Just Because Dinner. Anybody remember that? Anybody remember what it entailed? Yes, the staff and myself serving you, and what did you have to notify me that I needed to come to your table? Bells. Everybody brought bells, and so people brought bells in beforehand, and they brought bells that night. So this year, we're doing it again. March 19th. Saturday, March 19th is this year's Just Because Dinner, and bring in your bells. It's the one time you'll see me run around and do the best I can to serve you. The one time you'll see me do that. Be sure to get a lot of pictures. It'll be a good photo op to say that my pastor is a servant, because it's only going to happen once. So I want to make sure everybody knew that's what's happening. So see Donna after the service and mark your calendars for March 19th, the Just Because Dinner, where the staff and myself will be serving, and bring in your bells. Now, children and youth, you may be dismissed. All right, so today we're going to be looking at the book of Psalms. Psalm 99 is where we're going to be. Psalm 99, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim, let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name, holy is he. The strength of the king loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, and yet an avenger of their evil deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God. One of the things that we could always easily do in the church world, and this is just my perspective, I could be completely wrong on this, but I've often found that it's quite easy to, in the church world, is to inspire a debate. Whatever it may be, whether it's over theology, belief system, politics, whatever, I am convinced that all I would have to do is maybe just put one word up here and I could leave and you guys could take care of it and not even need a teacher or anything, because you guys would all have an opinion about that particular word. Because it's not difficult, right? How many people here have opinions? Yeah. Okay? Not everybody's raising their hand. That's impressive. Wow. Right. Yeah, we all have opinions, and sometimes we choose when we're going to say them, and sometimes we choose when we're going to keep it to ourselves, and it's not best. And many times after the fact, you'll say something to the effect of, well, I didn't want to say this in that setting. However, what I really believe is, and you fill in the blank, because we all have opinions, and it's easy, especially in today's world, today's culture today, it's easy to spark a debate. It's very easy. I remember when I was growing up, one of the times there was a kid that lived in our house that was not my brother or my sister or my father or my mother. It was the only other kid that was left in our house. And this kid had the gall one time, and I don't know what got into this kid's head. From time to time, I wonder about this kid and wonder why he does what he did and why he still does what he does. There was this time where his older brother was out playing, and he was out playing with everybody as well. This kid was, and this thing turned out that one kid down here made the statement that he could beat up my brother down here. And somehow communication got to both of them. I don't know how that happened, but somehow communication got to them that, did you hear? He said that he could beat you up. So then the idea is, then it comes back, well, tell him to come and prove it. And then you run back, he said to come and prove it. And then before you know it, and this evening, this in our neighborhood, there was a mob of kids around with this fight just getting ready to start before the parents got involved and put it to rest. The truth of the matter was, this person down here never said the first thing. It just kind of, it was all made up. It's easy to do that. It's easy to spur things up, right? And especially in our culture today, which is somewhat on edge because of a lot of things going on, it's easy to cause debates and cause disagreement and cause frustration, and it's not difficult for that to happen. And especially as I was sharing at 9 o'clock, even with you watch the news, and I was watching a lot that's going on in the Ukraine. I've been trying to stay up on that. And you watch one report, and then there's somebody somewhere who will say, yeah, but that's not really the case. This is really the case. And then you're wondering, well, who do I believe? And what's the truth of this? And what actually is going on? Now, why do I bring that up? I bring that up because I believe it's easy to spur a debate on when it comes to the idea of God and who God is. Because I think that many times God is painted in a picture that he should not be painted in. And I believe that God is depicted in a way that he is not. And one of the things that we need to get an understanding on as followers of Christ is we are not in a place to evaluate or judge God. That's not our job. He's never asked me for my opinion. He's never asked me what I thought about what he should do, and my guess is he's never asked you for yours. We're not here to evaluate what God does. So it's not like the idea of, well, I'm going to just, okay, if he does this and if he doesn't do that, then I'll serve him. But if he does this, I'm not going to serve him. Why? Because I'm evaluating God. But it's not our job to evaluate God. Why? Because God is God. And we can't change that. Now, what's important about that is what the psalmist is saying here is so clear, and you see this all throughout Scripture, is the importance of understanding this, that God is a good God, and that God is a holy God. And it's important to have that ingrained in us, so in those moments where we're like, well, why would God let that happen? That's when we start to say, well, wait a minute, I'm not the evaluator, I'm not in charge of what God does, and regardless of what's happening over here, I know that God is a good God and that God is a holy God. So this passage, the psalmist is giving us, he mentions God's holiness 3 times. That you are a holy God. God, you are a holy God. You are a holy God. You did this, you did that. You did this, you did that. You forgave here, you did this. You protected them here, you did. You are a holy God. There is no debate about that, no arguing about that. You are a holy God. That's what the psalmist is saying. And I want you to get in your mind, I want you to paint a picture today in your mind of what that looks like in your mind. What does it look like that God is holy? What does that look like? How would you describe God being holy. And the whole idea of holy means that he's set apart, he's pure, there's no darkness in him whatsoever, he can't do anything bad at all, he cannot sin, it's impossible, he is just 1,000% pure, he's completely holy, he's set apart, he's completely different than you and I, and that he's just so holy. What picture would you have in your mind of that? How would you describe that? And what would your reaction be if you saw his holiness right in front of your face and you just saw it was just as big as anything? My guess would be that it would be jaw-dropped, where we would be speechless and we wouldn't even be able to speak. The problem is, too many times in our humanness, we think we're smart. And we think we're intelligent. And we think we have something to offer. And we think that we can figure things out. And we think that, like the whole argument of science, for example. And am I against science? No, but I was when I took it when I was in high school. But other than that, I'm not against science. I'm not, science is science. It is what it is. I get it. And there's a lot of good observations science can give us. But one of the things we must be reminded of is that God is the creator of science. It's not like you have science over here and you have God over here. Which one do you want? No. God isn't what, he's the one who created what we call science. He's the one who's behind it. So there's no longer a debate about science versus God or whatever. No, because he's in charge of it. But the problem is, if we understand that God created science, that means that he can do whatever he wants with it. Which means, I might be wrong in my observation or in my discovery of science because God is the one who's in charge of it, not me. And that's why when you look at the history of things and you look at not just science, but you look at anything academic, you look at science, you look at biology, you look at history, you look at philosophy, you look at all that, you study all the history of it, you begin to see where there was a time where mankind believed this. And then the discovery was made, then mankind believed this. Then there was a discovery, then mankind believed this. And it makes me wonder, 100 years from now, is anybody going to be reading in the history books and they're going to be saying, my goodness, those people in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, back in 2022 were dumb enough to believe fill in the blank. Why? Because if you go along, there's another discovery, go along, there's another discovery. And sometimes, and I can't prove this, but sometimes I just think that maybe God might be looking down going, you're just now getting it. You're just now figuring it out because he's in charge of all that. And what man discovers is good, but it doesn't compete with God himself. He's the one who's in charge and he's the one who's behind all of it, which means he can do whatever he wants with it. We're just kind of the ones that are discovering because he's the creator and he's the amazing one and he's the holy God, as the psalmist says. When we think about the idea of the presence of God and being in the presence of God, there's several times throughout Scripture that we have this, and we have this concept of holy that he's saying here. When he says right here in verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God. Just take that concept alone right there. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. Why? For holy is the Lord our God. Why should I worship him? He's holy. Why should I do this? He's holy. Why should I do what he wants? He's holy. Why should I obey him? He's holy. Why should I obey his commandments? He's holy. Why should I read his scriptures? He's holy. And the list just goes on and on. That could be the answer for anybody who's challenging anything concerning scripture or God. Why should I do this? He's holy. End of discussion. Now, we have some instances where this happened before, and we have it in the book of Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, he is in the presence of the Lord. And he's in the presence so much, and he sees the angels flying, and he's in the presence so much that all he can say is, behold, here I am, a man of unclean lips. And so I want to ask you today, maybe your experience wasn't like Isaiah's exactly, but have you ever experienced God in that way? Have you ever had in a moment of time in your life where you're just kind of like, God's holy? Where you just have a moment of time in your life where you say, God's holy, and I don't even deserve to be in his presence because he's so holy. And you have a jaw-dropping situation. One of the, I guess you could say, weaknesses that I have had over the years, and I don't know if anybody else experiences this or not, but one of the issues that I've had over the years growing up is that, and I don't know where this came from, but I have a tendency to idolize people. Anybody here have that tendency where you idolize somebody? And I remember, you know, you know my history with music, and you know my history of playing in bands and everything. And my favorite band was playing at the Ohio State Fair when I was a kid. And I remember going in, we got into the fair, and it was the grandstand, so you didn't have to have a ticket to get in necessarily. As long as you got in the fair, you could go. And so my friends and I, we sat there all day long and watched this band set up, watched the roadies set up, watched the tech guys set up, watch them tune up. We never left the place all day from like 8 a.m. till about 11 p.m. We never left. That's how much we were into this band. But when we first walked into the grandstands, we first walked in, we're trying to find out, into the fair, we're trying to find out where this auditorium is, where are the grandstands, where's the band going to play. One of my friends points to somebody over here that's in the crowd, and he goes, hey, I know you, and I thought it was one of his friends that he recognized from his school or something, because we didn't go to the same school. But I took a glance, and I was like, oh, and then I looked over again, and it's him! It was the lead singer of the band. He's just walking around with every, he's a normal person. Isn't that amazing? You know, normal person. But you know, to a 15-year-old kid, I'm walking down going, and his wife is taking him by the hand away from us, like, you know, let's get away from the people that want your autograph and all of that. And he goes, looks back at us, and he goes, good to see you guys. And he just walks on, and we're just standing there. And I mean, we're standing there. I don't know how long it was, but you ever idolize somebody in that way? Maybe you haven't, but think about it. Have you ever, somebody famous, whoever it may be, and all of a sudden you see them face to face, and you're like, oh, and you're kind of speechless, and you're like, wow, this is them? I can't believe. Several years ago, I shared with you before, I had the opportunity to go down to Nashville to the National Religious Broadcasters. It was only because we had a member of our church who was connected, and they were able to get me in and go down. And every name you could imagine of Christian broadcasting, evangelists, speakers, whatever, they were all at this place. And here I was. And Miranda, if she saves her texts, which, by the way, I don't think she does, but if she saves her texts, she has several texts from the time I was down there. Of course, this was back on the flip phone, you know, the whole, when you had to, like, text three times to get the right letter before you can move on. So I'm texting, and there were several texts of, I'm getting ready to go in to the seminar, and I'm standing right beside, fill in the blank. Tomorrow, I'm going to see, hey, I just shook hands with. You ever idolize anybody like that? If you ever have, I'm sure that your experience is that when you do meet them, something happens to you physically, emotionally, mentally, and you kind of lose what to say, and you kind of become speechless, and you kind of, and you don't really know what to, you ever had that experience? Maybe you haven't had it with a person, maybe you've had it with an object. Has there been anybody here who, you know, maybe there's just that one object, that thing in your hobby that you love, that once you got it, all of a sudden, car collectors here, anybody, vehicles that, wow, this is it, I've wanted this my whole life, I saved up for it. Happened to me with with my guitar years ago. I saved my whole life up for it, finally was able to do it. And I remember when I got it home and I opened up the case, and it was just like the angels were singing. It was amazing. In this moment, it was wow. And as I told you before, my kids know the do not touch guitar thing, and they know what they're allowed to touch. But recently, as you know, Nick has been playing, and you know, I've taught him since he was a kid, and it's great to see him up here playing. However, he has his own guitar he has up here, by the way. He doesn't touch any of mine. However, after about, I don't know, a year or so, about a year ago or so ago, I permitted him to put mine away one time. It was still in the case, but he was excited to be able to put it away, even though it was still in the case. And then he'll tell you that before Christmas, he helped me do this one video thing because a friend of mine online, we were doing this video guitar duet thing, and he helped me with a video, and I said, okay, since you helped me with a video, you can play guitar. So he played it. It was about a minute and 30 seconds, and I said, okay, you're done. Thank you, and I took it back. But there's something about idolizing either a person or an object where you're just kind of, you're speechless, you just don't know it. You ever had that experience with God? Where you're just kind of stopped in your tracks and you're just kind of, I don't know what to say, God. Because you're so holy, I'm not, and I'm nothing compared to you, and you are just a good God. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. He repeats it three times. Holy is the Lord. You are holy. And you know, we have prayer life, and we pray, and we have prayer lists and different ways to pray, and you've taught many different ways to pray. But have you ever prayed in this sense where you just stopped and all you could say was, God, you're holy, and you're holy because of this and because of this and because of this. God, you're holy. I'm not asking you for anything. I'm not asking you to do anything. God, you are holy. God, that's, I'm recognizing your identity. I'm recognizing who you are. You're holy. Why is this such a big deal? Well, I think because the psalmist wrote this, I think it's such a big deal because the psalmist knew that this is something we need to continually be reminded of, which is why there's repetition involved, because how easy is it for us to forget how holy God is, and how easy is it for us to forget that who God is and how holy he is and the praise he deserves from us. How easy is it for us to be distracted from this or from that or from that and everything else going on over here, or the conflict over here or this, that we completely forgot about him and how holy he truly is. In the book of Revelations, chapter 4, you remember Revelation, it's the idea of when things are at the end, when it's the whole idea of the prophecies of when's the world going to end and when that's going to happen, when's the tribulation, when's the rapture, is there a rapture, all that. And Revelation answers all of that. But the whole idea of Revelation chapter 4, what does he talk about? Revelation 4:8, he says, holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord, three times again. We go into 2 Peter, 1 and 2 Peter, and what's the whole focus of 1 and 2 Peter is the holiness. And what does he say? He says, be holy, for I am holy. You can't get out of this idea of who God is and his holiness. And it's so easy for us to forget this concept, that the whole idea of jaw dropped, wow, you're holy. And I know that it's not good to put God on human terms, because he's not the same as us and different in some aspects, but sometimes I think about and I wonder about the idea of holiness, and I wonder about the idea of what God would love to see from us in this regard. And I wonder how much does he appreciate and how much does he love when we stop and say, you're holy. I wonder what that means to him. Because in John 17, when Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying for the disciples and he's longing for them and he's praying and he says, oh God, they're not going to have me with them anymore. I'm going to be leaving. And oh God, I ask God, would you sanctify them by your truth? Your word is truth. And what's the sanctify idea about? Sanctify is the same as holy, about setting apart. And then what does Jesus say after that? He says, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. And that's when he went to the cross. And so it all comes back to this whole idea of holy. So think a moment. I talked about the lead singer. I talked about my guitar. I talked about objects or different things. But think a moment in your life. What is it that you praise? Or who is it that you praise? And think about that in comparison to how much you praise God, who is the one who is deserving of our praise. So this is what I want us to do today in closing. I just simply want us to look at this chapter again. I'm going to read it again. And as I read it, I want us to think about it in terms of our life, and I want you to think about what God has done for you, and I want you to think about how much he is deserving of your praise, where you are going to be praising him in this moment. I mean, we're not going to be singing yet. We're not going to be standing up and worshiping, but just right now in this moment, if you could just get God in that picture, in that viewpoint right there of how holy he is and how much he is deserving of your praise, and if you could repeat in your heart exactly what the psalmist is saying, because that's what God desires to hear from us today. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The strength of the king loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, and yet an avenger of their evil deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God. And could we read verse 9 together, please? Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God. Lord Jesus, it is so easy for us to forget about you, to forget about who you are, to forget about how holy and pure you are. And Lord, there's many things as we walk with you. When we first come to know you, we come and we ask for forgiveness of the sins we've committed. And then there's times where we might mess up and we come to you again and say, Lord, I need to ask you to forgive me for this and forgive me for that. But I wonder, Lord, how often have we ever just said, Lord, forgive me for not seeing you for who you are. Lord, forgive me for forgetting about your holiness. Lord, forgive me for not giving you the praise that you deserve. Lord, I'm so tied up in other things. I praise so many other things in my life. There's so many other things that are so important, but sometimes we forget about you. Holy is the Lord. Let's stand together today. And let's close this service out today, recognizing God for his holiness and who he is and what he's done and we do serve a great God. Let's sing together.